Bale mewn ar Fletcher, mae'r gol o'r oriari i Linell. Ac yn sydyn, wyddoch chi be, oeddwn ni'n amne hyder y seintiau newydd. Dyna chi gol sy'n personoli un peth, hyder.
If someone put the petrol money down on the coffee table in front of me, I'll be able to pack in plaster in today.
Woof, 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 woof.
Normal service resumed as the champions comfortably win. Jonah turns Paxman on this podcast and interviews Chairman Mike. Nomads top the table and look at the Met and Llandudno coming up on the rails. It's all right, I've calmed down now, but the action hasn't.
I'm Gabby Amos, the physio at Carmarthen Town, and you are listening to the JD Welsh Premier League podcast with Weber and Jonah.
So I went off a bit Jeremy Kyle last week, didn't I? But it's your turn now. Let's hear from you on social media, hashtag JDWPL. Jonah, your turn. Banger humbled by the Met, TNS winning, a last gasp goal by Prestatyn. What was your personal highlight of match day two then?
Watching the highlight show on Scurry, there's some great goals again. Adam Roscrow, the left-footed volley from the edge of the box, first time. Lewis Harling with a left-footed rasper for Carmarthen to put some joy into their season so far. The highlight result was most probably Cardiff Met defeating Bangor, because I think Cardiff Met have set their stall up to say we're not a one-season wonder as a top six team and we aim to finish there again.
And we'll be talking a bit about that later, but after a one-week wobble, we needed to send an ace reporter to get to the bottom of what's happening at TNS. John Simpson wasn't available, so here's Jonah with Chairman Mike Harris.
Oh, hey, look, football's a funny old game. I said every dog has his day, and at the end of the day, we didn't take away our chances, and they took theirs, and hey, that's that. You can't take anything away from them, but I think if you look back over the last 6 years previous, it was about time they won. We've had a couple of good seasons where we've won by quite a lot of points, but the gap's been quite close. We managed to come out better on the day, but yeah, we expect the league to continue to improve, and that's what you get. I mean, you're not entitled to win every game, and especially away from home. It's always going to be tough ties, and when you're the reigning champions, everyone's going to try and show you what it's all about. So hey, at the end of the day, we've got to get our heads down, work a little bit harder, and keep pushing. So
And Mike, more than anybody, you just said you know, the league improving all the time. You're almost probably the main man in asking about improvement in this league. I have to say, if you don't mind myself first, I think it is improving. You know, standards, pitch standards, fitness standards, coaching standards. You know, yourself.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I think the standards are improving in all quarters, and I think the public slowly but surely are starting to see the league where it's where it should be. And don't get me wrong, it's not a finished. It's still work in progress. But you know, it's like Quigley now have a transfer to Blackpool. That type of transfer would not have happened 10 years ago. You know, and with the amounts of money that they were prepared to back that, and at the level, but the perceived level that he's gone to. I mean, League One for a player from the League of Wales 10 years ago would have been, don't be silly, it's been the odd one. But I can see a whole flurry of players leaving our league towards the English system for good transfer fees if we do our jobs right.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Mike, because Scott going to Blackpool, like you said, League One, and the last one I think was the lad Jordan Davis, who was also involved at Bangor last season. He's in the Premiership now with Brighton and Hove Albion. So for me, players, it's a great league as well for giving players chance to enhance their careers.
Absolutely, and I think the bit that's going unnoticed as well, the amount of compensation fees that are now coming to our club from 15 years worth of work within the academy. Lads, now we've got a constant flow of young talent being picked up over the years to clubs in the English leagues, and now as they're signing professional contracts for the first time, they realise that there may be 2, 3, 4, 5 years of compensation, which obviously we've had Callum Preston, who went to Birmingham, we've just had his compensation, we've got Jack Vale, we've gone to Blackburn, who was with us for 3 or 4 years, we've just had their compensation, and I think we've got about half a dozen others who are just about to mature, and again, the strength of our academy is growing, where perhaps 10, 12 years ago we'd go and play an academy like Swansea, all our players would be playing a year younger and we'd get a good hiding. Yeah. Yesterday we played Swansea Academy, age for age, and I think we won half the games, they won half the games. So the standard of the academies within the Welsh Premier, I can only speak directly about ours, but I think across the whole of the Welsh Premier has improved. And those lads will be consumed by other clubs, and if those clubs then sign them as full-time professionals, then that money's going to flow back into our game, helping to push the game up. And it's a long journey. It's a marathon, and it's not a marathon of one season. It's a marathon of perhaps decades. I mean, we're 25 years old, and if you look, what we're trying to do is catch up a system which is 125 years old. So that time can't be short-circuited. We can make a good fist of it, but more and more as the players like Scott Quigley make those transfers, you see the young guy who's gone to Fylde from Bangor, all these are making a reputation for our league, and more scouts will go, actually, where did that come from? Oh, Welsh Premier, better go shopping there. And if we're clever and we've got our lads on contract, then if they want those lads, they're going to have to pay recognised fees for them. I mean, I still believe Scott Quigley's fee was a pittance compared to other transfers, but ultimately with some of the other strings that we've got pulled there, if he does as well as I believe he will do, we probably will get a second payday on him somewhere down track.
Well, you know, Mike, thanks very much for the interview. Good luck to Scott, good luck this afternoon to yourself and to Bala. And this is a rare interview, Mike, because I'm interviewing Mike Harris. He has a pint in his hand, and by the way, to all the listeners, it's Harris drinking tea.
Oh, it's coffee.
It's coffee.
You don't know if I've got a little additive to there or not, do you?
It's a one-off. It's Mike Harris drinking coffee. Brilliant. Thank you very much, Mike, for the interview.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you, Mark.
So, Jonah, it's clear TNS are planning to do what they sort of did last season, eh? Everyone else finds fifth gear, and then they go and find sixth.
Well, I just think, like I said last week, Mark, every team has a blip, whatever stage of the season. But, you know, they weren't as convincing, mind, in the first 45 minutes. On Saturday, it was a 50-50 game. Usually, they go for the throat straight away. But I think they concentrated more this time on being patient and wearing Ballard down, and it looks like that's what they've done in the second period. I think the emotion of the Welsh Cup final helped Ballard when they defeated TNS in the final, the emotions of, you know, the cup final itself, and they just lacked a little bit of that on Saturday, and I'm sure that's what Colin was a little bit disappointed from at the end with their performance. I could see him, he was disappointed, you know, when managers are and when they aren't, but you'll expect more from his team the next time they play him. But TNS did click into gear, and they clicked into gear with a couple of youngsters as well. Holland in midfield played well, the lad Roberts making his debut at left back. So this is what Harris was on about in the interview. When one goes out, he's built the club to say when one goes, another one fills in, and they could be as good as everyone that leaves, and that's the way to run football clubs, mate.
And quickly, those two Wes Fletcher goals, either of them stoppable?
I guess the first goal was... he struggled. Wes Fletcher has struggled for the last 7 or 8 months, whether it be with fitness, whether it be with luck, whether it, you know, the goals simply weren't coming for him. Last season's scorer, top scorer for TNS was 15, and that was Greg again, Greg Draper and Alex Darlington. And if you're a football man, you look at TNS, and they've got to have a 9 to most probably score more than 15. So Fletcher getting off to 2 in the second week with a brace could send out bad signs for the other teams. If somebody goes and gets 25-30 for him, it could make him as strong as last season.
Well, still to come on the podcast, you've heard of the Tumble Fly Half Factory. We'll talk to the man who's solely responsible for almost a third of the Prestatyn team and a Connors Quay Nomads member as well. But first, let's speak to the Scotsman at the top of the table, Andrew Charles Morrison from Connors Quay Nomads. Andy, what's it like up there looking down at us mere mortals?
It's very early in the season, but it's a nice position to be in.
How do you feel about the two performances so far?
It's been pleasing because we played very well at Prestatyn, and we carried that on against Carmarthen at the weekend, where some of our play was as good as what we've produced since I've been at the club.
And you've gone for goals, haven't you? You carried on pushing forward and trying to get the goals for Colm to look good. Let's have a look at the goals against Colm. A solitary member, but I don't feel that you're happy that you let one in.
No, I mean, I always pride myself, I mean, on clean sheets. And the reason we finished second in the Welsh Premier League last year was our defensive record. You know, we conceded 24 goals, which across the domestic leagues is one of the best in Europe. And I believe if we produce that same defensive quality again this year, you know, we'll be very hard to beat. You can score 5 goals and get 3 points. You can score 1 goal and get 3 points. So You know, the defensive side of it's very important to me.
Now, talk to me about the future of Connersquay Nomads and this push for full-time. You've got some full-time players in now. How important is this full-time business? Do you really feel you need that to challenge for the title?
To be honest, I think so. You know, we've looked at how we could close the gap to TNS, you know, and, you know, without actually just putting your hand in your pocket and just buying ready-made players at the very, very top end, it's impossible unless you're going to be going full-time. You know, we've got another player hopefully coming in this week on the full-time programme. So it's I think we're to be honest, we're ahead of where we hope to be. But, you know, heading in towards the end of this season and then into next season, I believe it will start to look something like a full-time model.
Finally, Andy, your name, or the team's name, was in the draw for the Iron Brew Cup this week. You drew Dumbarton. What did it mean to be part of that draw, and what's it like to have this chance against those sides?
I didn't know what to expect, but actually coming into it in the draw last week, it almost was like a European experience again. You know, we had them watched at the weekend. We'll get them watched again this weekend. And it's a fantastic experience because, again, you can't get too many times where you get a chance to test yourself against, you know, players from what is classed as a higher league, you know, the Championship in Scotland. So it's a great chance for us, and it's thoroughly deserved. You know, for me, it's a little marker when we Connersquay play against Dumbarton of what we achieved last year.
So, Jonah, solid start for Nomads. Can you see them slipping up or carrying on at the top?
I see them. If they just make the same progress as they've made since Morrison taken over, they'll challenge. Because simply they're a well-rounded team from the back four. They're most, on paper now, most probably the most experienced team in the league. And there's a couple of their players looking on form. Wignall again. Wignall looks sharp on the wing. He's beating players. He's getting crosses in. Mike Wild is scoring. Matty Williams is looking at whether they play him as a starter or a substitute. You know, he's still most probably the best substitute, and that's no disrespect to Matty, but when he comes on as an impact player, he's most probably the best impact player in the league. He looks sharp as well, so I just think Morrison is just his bandwagon's rolling, and it could roll all the way this year to make it a real tight title fight with TNS, maybe Ballard as well. Ballard could be involved. You know, maybe that was their blip Saturday, and I just hope, again, Mark, right, that these teams can withstand a little bit of pressure on themselves and push TNS all the way. It's what everybody wants in this league. Don't forget, at present, TNS are fifth.
Now, a record listening figure number for the podcast last week. Must have been because I went off on one. A big thanks to all of you that tune in, and all of you like football, and Archers fan Ian, who have bigged us up on Twitter. Fulsome praise, always welcome on any social media, hashtag JDWPL. But just to let you know, we can track exactly what you're up to here at WPL Towers. We know who's listening and where. So I would like to say konnichiwa to our newfound audience in Japan. Yeah, we found a few hundred listens from the Minato district of Tokyo since the start of the season. Apparently, that's the posh part of the city where the ambassadors live. So, Jonah, we're going to get a bucket load of Ferrero Rocher on our way now.
Well, marvellous, Mark. If you're going to arrange a little trip over there, we'll do it live if you like.
But, oh, yeah, I can see the budget going that far.
Yeah, we'll go anywhere to do this. But, great. Listen, who knows? There might be a couple of expats living out there just interested in football. But fantastic. Thanks very much for the support anyway. From us to them anyway, and hey, keep listening.
I was going to say, if you are one of those listeners out in Japan or anywhere else abroad, like Chester, get in touch. We'd absolutely love to hear from you. So Met on maximum points with impressive performances home and away, and Christian Edwards, it's surely the performances that impress you most as opposed to the points.
Yeah, very much so. The start of last season was very difficult. The performances were good, but we didn't get any points from those performances. So it's been an important and positive start from us. And the performances have been good. It was a streetwise performance away at the Druids. And on Saturday, even although a lot of people will speak about how well we played football in the first half on Saturday, I think for me, walking away as a coach, it's the second half performance against a very good Bangor side put us under a lot of pressure, and we stood firm again in different conditions with the win. So that was very positive from the players.
Mentally, are you seeing the fruits of 12 months of Welsh Premier League learning now? Do you think the boys have learned a lot about how to play in this league?
Very much so. I think football's about learning. If you can learn in football, then you develop. And if you develop, you can become better. And I remember a comment last season from Andy Morrison said that we'd learnt how to do things on the road. And I think we've learned how to do things with the league in general. We respect the league enormously. Every team that we come up against, we respect and we do our homework. But it's just doing those little things that you maybe take for granted at a lower level, better and quicker, and because the game is better and quicker in the World Premier League, so you have to learn to adapt to that quickly and maybe take away the dangers of playing in around your box and playing in the final third a lot more. So we're doing that at the moment, and it's very pleasing.
Are you happy about this unknown quantity about you, or do you think you could become a bit of a millstone and you've just got to get on with being yourselves?
That's what we're about. We're unique, we're different to everybody else. And that's one thing we pride ourselves on. We hear lots of different things. There's lots of people saying that we're not students. Some of our players are 28, 29. We hear stories that all of our players get £25,000 sponsored towards their studies. It's all a load of nonsense. They're students. Exactly, any other student in any university, they just choose to buy into a football project that is always learning, trying to develop, as I've said. And if we're that unknown quantity, that was quite the way we like it. We just go about our business. As I said, we respect every single team in the league, and we will just go about working hard in training and trying to take training to matches and get positive performance week in, week out.
And you've been quite clear you want to finish higher this season. Jonah thinks you're going to be top four. You're going to be the dark horse on that. The next game, Christian, what have you got to do to make sure that you keep that momentum?
Score more goals than Bala. Quite simple as that. it really is. You know, we've had a very positive start to the season. Bala, again, very, very good side. Got a lot of respect for Colin, what he does with Bala. So we work hard this week in training. To put, you know, even though we won away at Druids, there was still a big argument in the dressing room after the game that we weren't happy about certain things. So we're never just happy to win. We know this league. This league's unforgiving. It can really bite you on the backside. So we've got to be aware and ready for every single game. And I'll keep saying this. For me, it's a race to 30 points. And if you can get to 30 points as quick as possible over the last six or seven seasons, it tells you that's good enough to be in the top six at the split.
Now, Jonah, you fancied Met in the Bangor game, didn't you?
I did fancy Met in the Bangor game because, don't forget, their first result of the season, they went to, you know, a very strong Kevin Druids and won 3-0. Didn't see the whole 45 minutes, but they scored three goals away at Kevin Druids. And like I said, listen, they signed Hereford United's captain of the last three seasons, Joel Edwards. He looked a bit unfortunate in getting maybe a second yellow. Yeah, I suppose a second yellow, technically, he had to have the red, but they could have done without that. Because he's obviously added strength and steel to their team. When if he's been captain of Hereford United, his experience is going to rub off on the youngsters within the Mets team. But they got lots of experience there, like I said last week. The likes of, I didn't mention Charlie Crosby last week. He was back in now this week as a 10. And if you watch the goals, Roscrow up top, I liked him towards the end of last season. He's one of these unpolished diamonds, Mark, but he just looks like he's starting to come through and shine every week. He looks a handful as well, a centre-half who doesn't take any messing about. So the Met, I think, you know, could be the... I'm not putting no pressure on them. You don't like to do that, but I just think they could be outsiders bet for to challenge a top, maybe the top four.
It would be remarkable. Now, it's game two of four of my Bangor experiment, Jonah. Sense that they underestimated the Met, I suppose, last weekend. Gary Taylor-Fletcher sort of insinuating as much on his Twitter after the game. But to be honest with you, sticking to my plan, that's probably one of the best lessons they could have learned, because it's probably sharpened them up now to be more aware and more interested in other teams and TNS.
Well, Mac, Andy Legg's last game for Bangor was a 3-0 defeat against Cardiff Met at Kincoid Campus last year. So, you know, if you're doing your homework, you're going to understand that it's a tough place to go. And that's why I didn't see it as a bigger surprise as everybody else did. We arrived Saturday to do the TNS game, and all everybody was talking about was how Cardiff Met were 2-0 up, and they looked, you know, shocked. I wasn't shocked at all. They, you know, they're going to be a strong outfit at home. And, you know, Gary Taylor-Fletcher and Kevin Nicholson will tell you that you've got to travel if you're going to come gain European football or challenge for titles. It's okay being good at home, but you've got to learn to travel as well, mate.
Now, it's Bala next for the Met, isn't it? Let's hear from Nathan Burke from Bala.
I think the corner killed us really, and you know, from then it was always hard chasing the game, but you know, as I said, we just move on and go towards next Saturday. If we would have picked the result up today, it was a bonus early, because obviously these are full time, and you know, we're obviously part time, but as we said, it's the bread and butter. Next week we've got Cardiff Met, so hopefully we'll start getting the points on the board then.
And in the chasing pack, Llandudno, comprehensive in an Aberystwyth game where, to be honest with you, the enemy of both sides was the wind. Here's Tom Dix.
There's no point setting targets two games in. We look ahead now to Connors game on Saturday. Hopefully they look strong in their first game, but we're confident we can get another win.
Yeah, and you've mentioned, you know, two clean sheets in the opening games. And Danny Shaw popped up with a goal this evening as well.
Yeah, actually, he was late for the bus, so it's a good job, really. But yeah, defensively last year we were sound. And to be fair, a lot of games we were unlucky. But this year we want to prove a point and starting on the front foot and scoring goals and keeping clean sheets wins your games, doesn't it? They're always close games when we play Konski, to be fair. We know what to expect, they probably know what to expect from us. So, but the lads will be confident of getting the 3 points again.
Now on to the other side of the table. We'll be talking about Prestatyn in a few minutes, but it was Mike Parker's injury time goal which condemned Barry to their first WPL defeat. Let's hear from Gavin Chesterfield.
We conceded late on, which is disappointing, but it's another step in our learning, if you like, in our in how we're adapting to this league. But there's loads of positives to take, you know. I think at the moment maybe it's quite right that people might look at us and say we're feeling a bit sorry for ourselves, but that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, in two games so far in the Welsh Premier League, we've competed well for long periods and shown that we can carry a threat. And for me, there's loads more positives than there are negatives, and we really look forward to the next game.
350 games up in charge of the Linnets, Jonah, for Gavin. It seems all about fine margins for them, a goal apiece now, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what's going to happen. They worked hard to get through the Welsh leagues, that from Division 3, 2 and Division 1. They were 2 years in Division 1 and they got through. And that was total dedication from the players and the manager. And they know that this is another step. And they you know, they were, this time last week, they were 1-0 up with 10 minutes to go against Aber. Things are looking rosy. And within a space of 7 days, you got 1 point out of six. And you got TNS home on Friday night. But I think they know each other well enough. There won't be no chinks in that changing room. They'll all back their manager. And they'll accept the challenge of this. They must understand, right, there's going to be a tougher league. And Gavin Chesterfield being around long enough to get his point over to his players. Once more, right, I might shock you here, right, wouldn't be surprised to see Barry sneak a point on Friday night.
You think that's a possibility against TNS? Why so?
Because of their organisation, and because they'll have a big crowd there. They'll have 1,000 crowd there again Friday night. It might make TNS play better. But I just think that your luck, sometimes you need a bit of luck, so they might get a bit of luck. They've had what they think have been bad luck so far. They didn't think the goal was a goal against Aberystwyth, and they've lost in the 94th minute. So perhaps they'll get a bit of luck their way. Look, I might be totally wrong, but I just think they have enough in their tank. Kane McLagan up top, and like I said, they got a fast run three, and they'll have a game plan, I think, for the champions, because they've played them a couple of times over the last couple of seasons. So yeah, I think it could be a tight game on Friday evening down at Jenner, and one to really go and, you know, we got the Scorio game on live, Bangor and Prestatyn, which would be brilliant. But I think down south, that's the place to be Friday night, because I think it'll be a good game.
It will be a great game, and it will always be a great game at Jenner Park. And that sounds like the nap of the day there. Let's talk about the game that's going to happen this week at the Basement between Newtown and Carmarthen. Mark Aislewood, he seems to have got the new broom out after two defeats.
Well, I think when you lose two games by, you know, and concede six goals, I think you can make a case for making as many changes as you want. You know, we have to be realistic and say that we haven't got a massive squad. But my first thoughts are we need to change some personnel in key positions, is my first thought, as we're travelling back now. And probably by next Saturday that'll remain the case. But obviously Newtown play with a 10, with Rushton. Nick Rushton, who's a good 10, he scores goals. So we have to make a decision. Do we go to Newtown and say, we'll stop them first and see what it brings, or do we go to New Town and say, let's do what we're attempting to do and have a more attacking force and take it in? That's a decision to be made. But, you know, the team you pick will depend on how we view what New Town's strengths are. So there will be changes inevitably, without a shadow of a doubt, because I think we have to.
Meanwhile, New Town's Chris Hughes thinks they're close to winning their first game after almost beating Druids last week.
One of the things we've got to be better at is when we're on top, we have to score. You know, you look at them, they had a good spell in the game, they scored a goal. When we're on top, we have to take our chances first, because the first goal in this league is massive. It's important. It allowed them then to sit in and frustrate and time waste and kick the ball away. And I thought, you know, the referee probably let them get away with it a little bit too much before clamping down. But, you know, they earned the right to do that because they scored first. And, you know, if we score first with the home team, it allows us to go on the front foot and probably go on and score more. But I think, you know, in terms of, like I said, performance and everything about us was really good and really encouraging. And I think, you know, the players are starting to gel in terms of the shape. And, you know, I think people have got to remember it whilst, you know, we're people probably frustrated and no more than us for not winning the game tonight. But, you know, it's a relatively new group coming together and take time. But, you know, we saw some really, really encouraging signs, some bright signs. And, you know, it gives us something to work on going into next week.
A sounds like he's going to be writing a new team sheet this week. His words on Scorio were, if you keep on getting three goals against you every week, you'll be playing in the Welsh League next season. Those changes are going to come, and I think we're probably going to see a different Carmarthen team next weekend, are we?
Yeah, you know, Mac, I know what Ace is all about. He doesn't suffer defeat. That's, you know, good football people who've been in the game a long time. Defeat hurts him, and I could see how hurt he was on the programme. And his players will be hurt because some of them will tell you that they could have most probably played better in the first couple of weeks than they have. But they've been around a long time, and I'm sure they'll bounce back. It's too early to talk about, you know, teams being bottom of the table and how long they'll stay there and all that. Newtown and Carmarthen, I'm sure, again, it'll be a great game. Saturday afternoon, it'll be a great game. Not too far for the Carmarthen fans to travel to Newtown. Hopefully a bumper crowd there. And that's a game as well. Newtown, Carmarthen haven't have given too many goals away. Hazel would have them in training. I wouldn't be surprised to see a 0-0 or a 1-1. And the tactics be totally different to what they've played so far. But I think a point would be steady for Carmarthen on the road to get them off and running. And Chris Hughes might just look at this as if they're going to challenge top six, this is the type of game Newtown will want three from.
Now that it's Aber against Druids on Friday night. Look, Nev was very disappointed with losing that game against Llandudno. No, but like I said, the wind was absolutely against both sides on that one. Druids have got another point in the bag. It's interesting time for both managers, isn't it? I think Druids are playing the game we expect them to play. Aberystwyth, are they finding their feet? Can we still use that excuse for Nev?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. If we go back to last season, there was teams like Cardiff Met had a point after five games or six games and got in the top six. So it is early days, but unfortunately you only play 22 games to get into the top six. And Nev lost a home game last week to Llandudno, which he would have had in his mind, he would have wanted at least a point from. Home games are absolutely vital, especially the Friday evening games. You know, the other team are usually travelling further than your players. And it's really, really key that he starts to take three-point hauls from home games. And Neville will tell you that. Wayne Jones will tell you that. And the Aberystwyth fans will tell you that. And this Friday, they'll be targeting three. They'll want three to get, you know, 4 points from nine. And Hughie Griffiths will see Aber as somewhere to go. And if they nick a point, he'll be very happy. If Kevin Druids could nick a point at Park Avenue on Friday evening, Hughie Griffiths will go home very happy on Friday evening. So it's a three for Aber, I think it has to be. But if the Druids can get a point, they'll go home happy.
Well, Prestatyn have got some points in the win column now after beating Barry. But somebody who I meant to get on the podcast last week before I went off on my rant and took all the time up was this man who is responsible for a third of the Prestatyn team. Yes, Zayak Edwards, Noah Edwards, Zeb Edwards, all come from Teddy Edwards. As does Kai Edwards from Koniski Nomads, of course. So I thought there's only one man to talk to about how Prestatyn are going to do this season. Teddy, thank you for joining us on the podcast. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you, Mark? Okay.
Now, how did all three of them land up at Prestatyn?
Yeah, obviously Noah was there last year, and Noah had a really good season last year, a bit in the Cymru Alliance, like. But the reason that they all ended up at Prestatyn was because I know Neil well. I know Gibbo. I know the way he goes about his football, and I thought that the way they were going forward and being back into the Welsh Prem, that it'd be beneficial for the other two to join Noah and learn off Gibbo, because they're still very, very young.
Now, I know what brothers are like. Was Noah acting as a secret agent for Prestatyn, or did he want the two of them to stay well clear of him?
Well, yeah, Noah had a little bit of a podcast with Gwyn Derville at the Helsinki Nomads game as well, and said that because they both got relegated last year, one with Real, one with Airbus, that they decided they wanted to stay in the Welsh Prem, and Noah said that he didn't really want him with him.
Right, let's land you in trouble now. Who's the most competitive of them all?
The most competitive, they're all very competitive, but I'd say Zayek is the most competitive out of the three lads that are at Prestatyn. But they're all very, 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 very close together.
And let's be fair, with all four of them in football, needing to be transferred to games and training, you could have been a millionaire by now on the money you've probably spent.
Mark, I tell you what, if someone put the petrol money down on the coffee table in front of me, I'd be able to pack in plastering today.
Teddy, it's a pleasure talking to you. You've contributed so much to Welsh football. You should get some sort of award, or at least get your money back. Let's hope we can sign one of your boys up for Barcelona for $70 million.
No worries, Mark. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, and good luck for the season, mate. Thank you very much.
So, it's the JD Welsh Premier League looking like this weekend. It starts on Friday night with Jonah on the Scorio cameras. Bangor against Prestatyn. Quickly, Jonah, who do you fancy to take that one?
It'll be an interesting game to watch. Bangor will be strong favourites, and I expect Bangor to collect three, but I'm looking forward to watching a young, exciting Prestatyn team.
And the other two games worth watching on Friday night, Barry against TNS, Jonah fancying a draw there, and Druids against ABBA is your other entertainment. On Saturday, Bala host the Met, that'll be interesting. Llandudno against Nomads, real test for Alan Morgan's side if he fancies his chances of going further. And that basement battle, Newtown against Carmarthen. And then it's Nathaniel Carr's Cup first round in the midweek after that. A special preview podcast for that coming soon. But hold on. Someone's broken into the high security WPL radio studio. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Gavin Morris from Tom Pentra, the Mighty Bulldogs. And next week we'll be taking over the podcast as well as previewing the Iron Brew Cup games for TNS and Nomads. So join Weber and Jonah for some proper football on next week's podcast.
Yes, seeing as it's International Week next week, we'll take an early look in the form in the Welsh League and the Cymru Alliance on the podcast next week. Hopefully a chat with the podcast Pale Droid boys as well about how Wales will fare in those internationals. Now, in the meantime, to close us out, time for a tune. I was going to play this last week, but I went on to my rant and we ran out of time. So let's make up for it now. This was a song I played to death in the league's inaugural season 25 years ago. Still sounds as fresh as a daisy to me today. I hope you enjoy it. From 1992, BSFA. That stands for Before Super Furry Animals. Here's Griff's original band. They're called Fa Coffee Pawb, and the song Sigur Sigur. Welwch chi wythnos nesaf.